Good evening from Norman America, folks. Parker Thune, Brandon Drum. This is NOU Insider Post Practice Blitz. And as you can tell, we are on location here in Norman America, just outside Gaylord Family Oklahoma Memorial Stadium. I believe this is the infamous nook where certain individuals observed practice the week after OU Texas in 2021, and thereby distinguished that Caleb Williams was going to be taking over as OU starting quarterback. But we have no such ulterior motives this evening. We are merely here to talk about the action that we witnessed in the Everest Center earlier today, Brandon, where for the first time since August, we got to watch a bit, only about 15 minutes, but we got to watch OU practice. We got to watch the Sooners hit the practice field. And we got to start with the big news. It's not shocking news necessarily, but it is news nonetheless. Our Mason Thomas is back to practicing for Oklahoma. He has not played since the first quarter of the Tennessee game on November 1st, but I think most everyone understands what kind of difference maker this guy can be for Oklahoma if indeed he does play on Friday, which he is very much on track to do.
Yeah, it's expected he's going to play. We've talked about it, I think, several times on a lot of our podcasts and on OU Insider, and we had notes on it a few weeks ago. I was talking to Jake Crane, our OU Insider. We'll have OU Insider special from Crane and Company joining us over the next few days. He was talking about how excited he is to see our Mason Thomas. You're talking about one of the best defensive players in all of college football. He's back. 6.5 sacks in a little over 6 games. I mean, that's a pretty good sack per game ratio. I don't know. Do you think there should be expectations tempered maybe a little bit with him missing, or do you feel like he's going to be his old self? I'm interested in your thoughts on that.
After what will be six going on, what, 7 weeks? 7 weeks without seeing game action. My expectation is that R. Mason Thomas is going to be close to, if not fully himself. And honestly, Brandon, this is the type of game where adrenaline's going to take over for a guy like that to a certain extent. As we discussed on the podcast over the weekend, this is without question, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is the last game R. Mason Thomas and this senior class is going to play in front of a home crowd at Owen Field here at Oklahoma. So you're going to have that dynamic at play. And also, the stakes on the gridiron kind of speak for themselves. A win for Oklahoma will put them in the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day against number one Indiana. So R. Mason Thomas back on the practice field, also practicing today. We're a couple of names that we haven't heard in a while. Offensive tackle Jacob Sexton, who has not played since the season opener, in which he sustained an injury that has kept him sidelined since, at least as far as game action is concerned. And then running back Javonte Barnes, who hasn't played since week four against Auburn. Now he has preserved his red shirt. He's going to be fully available throughout the postseason for Oklahoma, however long that may last. And both of those guys, Brandon, have quite a bit of starting experience in an Oklahoma uniform. And if their numbers get called this Friday or beyond, we know those are two guys that can handle business.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that when you hear those two names, right, Jacob Sexton and Javonte Barnes, they're going to sit there and go, "Oh my gosh, again, why they're always injured, or he sat out, he dipped out on his teammates, all that type of stuff." It's time to win. It's college football playoffs. You have a guy that started the season as a starter at your left tackle back. That cannot be undervalued, can't be overstated how important that is for Oklahoma to have more depth, whether it be at guard, whether he plays tackle, doesn't matter. You have somebody else that you trust that you know to come into that position. Same thing as you talked about on the podcast just yesterday, Javonte Barnes, pass blocking stud, one of the best that Oklahoma has, if not the best they have. And you want to know what? Against a team that Oklahoma's going to be facing this week with a pass rush like Alabama has, you're going to need that, and you're going to need that bad. So it's never bad to get depth back, no matter the situation. It's do or die now, right now, Parker. So it's win at all costs.
Another notable disclosure earlier today from John Mateer in his press conference, he mentioned that Ryan Foje has been repping at
I
center
asked that
a little
question.
bit.
That was
Yeah.
weird.
So he's made starts at guard and tackle as a true freshman for Oklahoma. And it doesn't look like Jake Michael is going to play on Friday. He was dressed out today at practice, but he was only taking mental reps, not live reps of any kind. And so I'm not under the expectation right now that he's going to be active on Friday. which you would think moves Fabecchi Wiwu inside to center, as we saw in the season finale against LSU, the regular season finale, I should say. And Foje remains planted at right guard, where he started in Wiwu's stead. Now, it does appear to be a possibility, though, that the two flip-flop, i.e., Wiwu gets to stay at his traditional post at
And
right
Foje goes
guard,
center.
and Foje snaps. Now, Fabecchi Wiwu played well at center against LSU. And I don't know if that position is a position you really want to mess with such high stakes as will be at stake this Friday when OU and Alabama hit the gridiron.
I thought it was funny that Mateer caught himself and he goes, oh, dude, for no reason. He was just trying it. But then he backed it up and said, that dude is really good at football, talking about Ryan Foje. That you're right. I don't think you can. I don't know that you can do that unless you're going to move Sexton to right tackle, Fabecchi to right guard, or moving back to right guard, right? And so you'd have two guys on that side that know the offense in and out that can instruct Foje the calls, the shifts, the protection, the slides, all that. That would be the only way you would be able to do it. No, I know Simpson's there and he's a good player.
Simmons.
Simmons, excuse me, Simmons there, he's a good player, but I got Ty Simpson, I was thinking about that. Simmons there is a good player, but man, I don't know that he knows the position the way that Sexton, the way that, Fabecchi Wiwu does. I just don't. So I could see that being the case. I just would be shocked, right? I think you have to go with Fabecchi Wiwu at center and just have Foje at guard. That's what I would do. Because it worked, right? Maybe not so much in the run game, but was that really because the offensive line wasn't doing it or because the two running backs were hurt? Like, there's so many things that come into play there.
Any other observations that spring to mind after the presser session that we sat through this morning, other than the fact that in-person press conferences are and will always be far superior to Zoom?
Oh my gosh. There was a DJ that was playing. It kept going ever, ever, over and over and over with repeat, repeat, repeat. Mike Hauk made a joke that he was his own DJ up there. He is DJ Hauk. Tate Sandell. The story of Tate Sandell is about as cool as it gets. Like, you're talking about a Lou Groza winner that last year before the season was about to hang it up and told his parents, I don't want to put you in a bind. And I asked the question, like, 30,000 point view, can you just kind of, I know you have games left, but talk to us about your feelings and everything that you've gone through over the last few years and seeing where your career is at. And he brought that up, man. I almost just hung up the cleats and didn't play. That would have ridded us of the short pants and the 50-yard field goals. How dare you think about that, Tate? How dare you? No, but for real, like, amazing story. He kept going. His parents found a way financially because he was a walk-on at UTSA, and the rest is history. Here he is as the best kicker in college football. It's wild.
Pretty unbelievable to think that the first Groza Award winner in program history was almost done with football because he couldn't get any financial relief at UTSA, which is kind of the norm for kickers, especially at that level. Like, a lot of kickers aren't on scholarship, and so you really got to prove your value. You got to earn your way, and Tate Sandell has done that from walking on at UTSA to now being on full scholarship at Oklahoma, and not only being on full scholarship, but putting together the greatest individual season for a kicker that has ever been witnessed here. Hey,
Amazing.
we're 4 days out, folks. It's happening in that building. There's a college football playoff game being played here in Norman on Friday night. We are very excited to cover it. And we're very excited to provide coverage leading up to the game, which you can find in its entirety at OUinsider.com. Sign up, get a trial run for just $1. You don't like it for whatever reason, you don't have to stick around. We think you will like it, though. And we are quite eager to be right there alongside y'all for however long this playoff run lasts for Oklahoma, as they are in the CFP field for the first time in the 12-team era and the first time overall since 2019.
Crazy.
For Brandon Drum, I am Parker Thune. This has been an OU Insider post-practice blitz. Stay tuned for much more throughout the week, and subscribe to this YouTube channel if you haven't already. We'll see you soon.